PPR Fantasy Insider is brought to you by Pepperidge Farm Goldfish, now in two new flavors, Explosive Pizza and Extra Cheddar.
All right, guys, welcome to the Week 2 podcast for the Igloo Fantasy Football League, coming to you live from Columbus, Ohio. I'm John, we have Andy here and Joel here. Go ahead and say hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi there.
Right to the point there. We're here just to talk about, through this podcast, about week one, what went on, surprises from week one, matchups, that kind of things. So we're going to hit on a few points in a somewhat loose format. I don't know if Eric Marshall will be happy about our format this week, but we'll do what we want. So what's going on with the week? Let's get a little collection where we are sitting right now with the two managers here with me. How do you feel about your fantasy team so far? What's going on in your life? Let's
go ahead, Joel.
Well, to talk about my team.
Yeah, or just what's going on.
My team's still speculative at best. Yeah. I admit that. Like, there's still things that, like, if Wilson ends up being like a starting running back for New York, or I'm still dealing with a tight end situation, kind of experimenting. But I mean, it seems like from last year, seeing how the league panned out, it really seemed like the last 6 or 7 weeks was a lot more definitive than anything in the first half. So, you know, I'm not too concerned, even though I'll probably be criticized.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that as far as a recap of my team goes, I'm pretty happy, obviously, with week one performance. Joel and John were watching the game with me on Monday night, and every Nick Kading field goal, I was... dick waving.
You were on cloud nine for Sunday and Monday.
Well, I mean, I was happy because a lot of my picks panned out. I mentioned to Joel that 4 or 5 of my players were questionable going into the week one matchups.
Dude, almost all of them.
Almost all of them either didn't aggravate their injuries and scored a shit ton of points.
Right.
So I'm pretty happy about that.
On a larger level, though, are you happy, like, to be back in form?
No.
The Andy, quote-unquote, yeah, Andy Fear is back.
I think you do better from coming from behind, right?
No.
No.
You don't
no.
like to
not
be
coming
impact.
From
he's
behind.
The front.
But here's the
he's
thing.
The
like,
top,
I want to be,
bottom.
Like, I want to be, like, the number 3 or 4 team in the power rankings.
Yeah, flying just under the radar.
I don't want to be in a position where I have a target on my back, but at the same time...
But that's irrational, because there's nothing anyone could do about a target on your back. Like, you will either score the most points or you won't.
All right.
Last year, Eric came out scoring ridiculous and then trailed off.
That's true.
And then
that is true.
Around Tom Brady. Just so you guys know, also, if you hear a little squeaking and some dingling, it's we got Soren. We're recording outside right now at Andy's house. You got some Shiner Box, some of the Goldfish crackers that Joel was talking about in our intro, and we got some cigars, and now Soren has
lost his tennis ball privileges.
He doesn't look too happy about that. All right, so we want to hit week one matchups. You want to come out firing right here on this?
Well, no, John, how do you feel about your team? You didn't chime in.
Here's my thing. I'm pretty happy about my team. The reason why I'm happy about my team is I was the third highest point scorer this week, and some of my players didn't perform as well as I think they will throughout the year.
Such as?
Jamal Charles had a fairly poor game. I think that's directly related to how Matt Castle played their offense. It's just totally inept all game, turning the ball over. And Charles didn't catch any passes this past week. Romeo Crennel said that he'll be catching some more passes this week. So.
What was his PP like? What was before, like 2 years ago?
Yeah,
when he was big. Like, what kind of receptions was he getting then?
I think he had like 45 to 60. I think receptions for the season, but he didn't perform very well. Also, I had Reggie Wayne sitting on my bench. He scored, close to 23 points. So even despite those two, and my defense had like 6 points. My kicker had 6 points. So despite all those, I was still at 125. Obviously not the 150 points that Andy's team pulled out when he still had Adrian Peterson on his bench, but I think it was a very strong showing, but I don't think it's going to be my strongest of the year. I think there's a really high ceiling for my team.
You mentioned, talking about Charles, though, the PPR-centric running backs, it just seems like I'd be very surprised to see like a non PPR centric running back get moved in a season, like a trade. It doesn't seem like you can get rid of them if, you know, they're not a piece. They're like not the factor comparatively.
I mean, I think it just depends. I mean, Arian Foster traditionally hasn't been as big of a PPR back as like a LeSean McCoy or Darren McFadden or someone like that, but at the same time, he scores points. I mean, it depends.
He gets in the end zone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It depends on...
There's like three factors.
It depends
factors.
On the team.
Catches, run, and...
It depends on whether or not the running back is the clear number one option on a team that relies on the running game to pound it into the end zone or not. And that's what sets Arian Foster apart. It's the same thing that sets Ray Rice apart, honestly. Like, he's the same type of back as Arian Foster in my mind. Ray Rice catches a few passes per game out of the backfield, but the bulk of his scoring potential is touchdowns. Because he's the only option in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So.
Also, Mike Vick had a really horrible game against the Cleveland defense.
But you
I think
really,
a fairly
really
underrated
him,
Cleveland defense.
You really expect him to bounce back from that?
I think I don't know that he's going to play a lot better, but clearly I don't think he's going to be turning the ball over four times. He also had two fumbles in the game that were both recovered by Philadelphia, so he could have had six turnovers that game.
Sure. Is the jury still out
he
on
still
their
scored
offensive
almost 18
line?
Points.
Like, I thought that this was supposed to be, like, I mean, last year it was supposed to be, but this year especially, it continued, like, was supposed to be still a revamped Philadelphia team.
Yeah.
Like, he just looked like he had no time against Cleveland defense, which I don't know a lot about.
Well, I know Cleveland's defense is very good in the secondary. I think Eric could probably talk, or Brian, or Ryan could talk a little bit more about that on the boards, but I didn't expect a really stellar day from Mike Vick this past week, but I was clearly underwhelmed by his performance, and thankfully Paul's team didn't do too well, so I still was able to get the win.
I think it's interesting that you got the win, and in Brian's power rankings he said you cruised to your win. It felt like that was going to be, it felt that way with a few teams.
Well, yeah, I had the win right even before Monday night, when Darren
McFadden
went off.
Yeah, but it felt like teams that should have won. Were there any big surprises this week in terms of...
I was pretty surprised that Beck was able to beat David.
I think that's the biggest surprise of the week.
Because Dave still had four guys going into Monday Night Football,
well,
and he was only behind by... You know, Beck had Baltimore's defense, who had like 20 or 22 points, which is kind of crazy, but we're going to look up these stats as we talk about them. We're not coming off the top of our heads here, but... I'm going to pull up Beck and...
I mean, Beck won comfortably by 10 points. The thing that was kind of surprising to me is that, you know, Dave scored points. I mean, he had almost 120 points.
Yeah, that's tough when you score that much and you still lose. That's really tough.
So, Beck got extremely lucky with almost all of his starters. I think the most subpar performance was Chris Johnson. He still got 11 points. You know, he had Tony Romo that scored... 26.48. I don't think that's going to happen every week. Baltimore D scored 20 points for Beck, so I think that he was just kind of lucky.
Is that a media like creation, just a discussion of, okay, Romo's got the tools now? Well, he's not got the tools. He's got the parts in place to...
Well, I think the surprising thing about Romo is that they had a lot of their players were either not 100% or out. You know, Jason Witten, Dez Bryant, and Miles Austin were both... You know, nursing injuries, I think.
They,
I don't think
they
they're
all
100%
did play,
back.
They but they're not 100%, sure.
Felix Jones wasn't in, but DeMarco Murray had a good game.
Kevin Ogletree, obviously.
Kevin Ogletree stepped up, that kind of thing. But I don't know. Dave had a pretty good week. Ray Rice was obviously his highest point scorer, and Julio Jones had 26.8 points, which is
thanks to
kind of insane.
Matty Ryan.
Yeah.
Who,
Matty
by the
Ice,
way,
Matty Ice.
Did, let's talk about
did,
this.
Did not get mentioned in the power
he
rankings.
He did not get mentioned.
But the top point scorer from week one in the NFL, Matt Ryan.
Do you think that's something that he can continue to do week in, week out?
I don't think expecting that many points from Matt Ryan is reasonable, but I liked him to take the next step this year and
what
become at
yardage?
Least a top five quarterback.
What was his yardage in that game?
290-some yards.
He had three touchdowns and a rushing touchdown.
Rushed for a touchdown,
which is
kind
of weird
happen.
Because Joel and I looked. At the stats from last year before our last podcast, and Matt Ryan I think had like 45 rushing yards and only like five or six attempts. We remarked about that to each other that he literally doesn't rush the ball hardly at all, but he came up with a rushing touchdown this week.
And a fairly, well, it's hard to tell from the stats here on Yahoo, but he had 25 rushing yards and a touchdown, so I don't think that probably came on one play, but 299 yards through the air and three TDs, two of them to Julio Jones, I think. So I liked Matt Ryan as kind of like a very value-based quarterback going into the draft. I thought that I could get him in like the late second maybe, and I thought that he would put up top five numbers.
Is that where you took him?
I think I took him in the third because I was, this is what we were talking about after the draft, John,
Vic,
is
yeah.
because you took Vic in the second round.
Last pick of the second round. And you came around and took Matt Ryan in the third.
That's right. I took him right after you took Vic.
Yeah.
Because we were drafting back.
I was between him and Vic, actually.
Yeah. It's like a
wrong choice anyways.
So yeah, so I like him to put up top five quarterback numbers. And that's another thing that confused me about Brian's power rankings is he seems very high on Matt Stafford and wants to give Matt Stafford the benefit of the doubt. But Matt Stafford looked like a chomp this week compared to Matt Ryan. And so I just don't understand. If you're going to evaluate quarterbacks on a curve, you probably should evaluate them fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I don't think is being done right now. I mean, Paul, for God's sake, is still starting Jake Locker. So,
trying to unload Jake Locker.
Paul, get on the waiver wire and pick up Josh Freeman. Oh, wait, you got beat to it by Dave. So, I mean, I think that there's a lot of people that are kind of have rose-colored glasses on about quarterback prospects this
Dave's
year.
Like 1 week away from dropping Josh Freeman if he doesn't perform.
Or trying to deal him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that he's already offered him to Paul. Right?
Yeah. I've offered Rivers.
Yeah, Joel's got two quarterbacks.
How's that
trade
going? I know that you've been working on that for about 2 weeks.
There's
no movement?
There's no movement. There's been a little bit of discussion.
What kind of counteroffers has Paul been making to you for
no,
Rivers?
No, Paul just wants to think about it. I offered some value for next year, too, which I don't want to...
Some draft picks
I'm not
going to
disclose in this podcast, but...
You were going to clean his house next year?
Mid-draft.
Fifth, sixth round?
Yeah, I don't want to say.
Okay.
I don't want to say.
Okay.
So anything else from Beck and Dave's matchup that kind of surprised you, or are we kind of done with there?
I don't think so. I mean...
Frankly, I'm surprised that Beck, I don't think, was a highly rated team going into week one, and he was able to score 129 points, whether that's a regular occurrence or not, but
I mean,
I think that was very surprising.
Dave could have beat three teams that won
in
the first week. Mm-hmm. So I expect him to bounce back. I mean, it seems like he has the point scoring ability to bounce back.
Yeah.
He just got a freak week from Beck.
Yeah.
So
let's move on to Aaron and Eric, their matchup last week. Aaron coming out with an 84.8 points. Got a buck fifty from Mark Ingram. Got 2 points from Felix Jones, almost 2.5 points, and 2 points from her kicker. Also has Ryan Matthews on her bench, who she's hoping will lead her to the promised land.
Does she have like three running backs that are just sitting right now waiting?
Let me see here. She's got Jay Stu on her bench. She's currently nursing an injury, and Ryan Matthews.
And Ryan Matthews.
Also Austin Colley and David Nelson, all four of those guys banged up. She's got Greg Olsen on her bench, who's the only one who scored a respectable amount of points last week.
Is Colston a good fantasy player?
I don't know. I was listening and talking about this.
3 or 4 years ago I had him and he was great.
He's a very consistent performer. He's the number one wide receiver in New Orleans.
He got 10 targets in that
game. He doesn't score a lot of points. Because I think that he's mostly used as a safety valve. Traditionally, in that offense, they use receivers like Robert Meacham, Lance Moore, to really stretch the field. Lance Moore becomes kind of like a Wes Welker.
Lance Moore, I think, had like 20 points last week.
Yeah, which is not really going to happen maybe again this season.
Yeah, that might have been his top.
Does anyone have him?
Yeah, Nick.
Nick has him. He started
him. One of the only things that kept Nick in that game.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, clearly underwhelming. Do you think that's indicative of how well her team's going to do this year? Or do you think this is kind of a...
Let's face it. Mark Ingram, Felix Jones are not going to perform. Jonathan Stewart, maybe at some point down the line. Ryan Matthews is probably going to be a serviceable starter.
Jermichael Finley is going to do better because he didn't do well for me. That's what.
And then on the other side of the ball, we've got Eric. Came out with 125.32 points. Good for fourth in the league this week, just behind me.
Very Eric-like opening performance.
I mean,
Cruise to victory.
Aaron Rodgers had a fairly subpar week, you know, playing-wise, but he still scored almost 25 points, which was pretty surprising.
He got a lot of garbage points, didn't he?
Yeah, a lot of garbage time points, I think.
Steve Smith did fairly well for Eric. I think a lot of people are concerned about whether or not he was going to be good this year, even though he had a good year last year.
Okay, but he's got Eric Decker, and so this kind of lead-in discussion about Denver and Peyton.
Sure. I think Eric Decker's going to score more points going from here on out.
Yeah.
In Denver, yeah, do you think someone he's else got all the targets in Denver. Who was it?
Demaryius Thomas? Do you think he's going to score more than Demaryius Thomas this year?
I believe that Eric Decker has got more height. And I would expect him, as he develops more of a rapport with Manning, to be utilized more.
He's also kind of an injury risk. He was injured last year, I believe.
Demaryius Thomas was injured last year, too. So, I mean.
But Matty was shit on for that pick with Peyton. And it looks like it's going to work out.
Yeah, totally.
Peyton on his bench. I wonder if he'll start him this week.
That Denver-Pittsburgh thing is weird because, I mean, in the last 2 years, I think it was Pittsburgh that had the number one pass defense or whatever, but they've been torched now twice by two different quarterbacks for Denver.
Sure.
Tebow and Manning.
So,
DeMarco Murray had a pretty decent game against Dallas on Wednesday night of last week.
I mean, I think one thing that we should mention is kind of Indianapolis's setup, because one of the things you were talking about, John, is about how you had Reggie Wayne on the bench, mm-hmm. and it ended up that he scored a ton of points. Same story for Eric with Kobe Fleener.
Kobe Fleener.
I think what you're seeing is you have a rookie quarterback. He's super uncomfortable in pocket. He threw a ton of interceptions. He looked pretty poor.
He played from behind, though, too, so they had to pass the ball a lot.
But obviously, Reggie Wayne and Fleener are his outlets. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's uncomfortable, so
until
he throws
Austin
to a veteran wide receiver,
until
and he Collie throws to a
back,
tight end that he's been playing college ball with.
Is he coming back this week?
I'm not sure.
They said, I think he practiced yesterday.
Austin Collie, yeah.
See, I'm not sure if Austin Collie's going to have a good season or not. I mean, obviously they're going to be playing from behind a ton, so that helps, but to me, it seems like the receiving. I'm not sure that Andrew Luck can support more than one credible fantasy receiver this season,
mm-hmm.
just because he doesn't have the chops.
Dude, it's interesting because he's the new quarterback, but it's not really their offense that was the problem in that game. Like, they just got buried in that first half. Dude, another thing is you have Brandon Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
God, dude, that guy was getting, he was getting targets when he was covered in the end zone.
15 targets last week.
It was insane.
Yeah.
That pick looks genius, too,
did not expect Jay Cutler to have the passing acumen to get the ball to Brandon Marshall like that.
They love each other.
Yeah, totally.
That was a genius pick.
They're total fast.
That looks like the pick to me. I think I probably passed that up maybe when I was drafting Rivers or something like that, and as I look back now, I'm like, God.
Well, but to be fair, week one performance does not make the media machine.
Is like, oh, they have a relationship, but you don't want to buy the media machine story, but it's true with those two.
Are you talking about Cutler or Marshall? You passed that.
Yeah,
Marshall. I got Marshall in the second round.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, any other surprises from this matchup that you know of? I mean, do you think Eric's team can continue to perform at this level? He's got San Francisco's defense sitting on the bench, but he got a pretty big game, 18 points out of New England's defense. Yeah, New England's defense is improving.
I think that the Eric's team is probably going to end up a playoff team.
That's a good point.
I think
like
he's going to be
4 or 5 spot, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I would estimate that he finishes between 4 and 6, just because of the quality of players. Here's the thing that I think separates who's going to be the top seeds in the playoffs versus who's going to occupy the 4 to 6 seeds, and that is teams that have the ability to score, to absolutely go off on any single position each week, are going to end up doing better over the long term. For example, on my team, Arian Foster could go off Andre Johnson can go off. Matt Ryan can go off. Adrian Peterson can go off. So you have a, even if those guys have a subpar game, they have, their floor is pretty high, but their upside is gigantic because they touch the ball a lot. With Eric's team, I think what you have is you have a lot of players that are involved in their offenses, but aren't necessarily threats to score 20 and 30 points a week.
Yeah.
I don't think that Kobe Fleener is going to score 20 points or 30 points in a week.
Okay, but we're saying that he's going to make the playoffs. Like, they get enough.
Yeah, they get enough, enough to get in the playoffs. Yeah, exactly. Guys. And especially he's deep enough to make the playoffs. He's got a couple people on the bench that, mm-hmm. I mean, Anquan Boldin this last week had 15 points. I don't really expect that to happen every week. He was very uninvolved last year,
mm-hmm.
but Flacco looks a lot better this season. That's something we haven't mentioned yet. Flacco looks very Matt Ryan-esque, and I think this is the year where quarterbacks of that generation make the next step.
So, well, who else is with that?
Flacco, Matt Ryan, I think Aaron Rodgers was a year or two before because he sat on the bench in Green Bay for a while. But, I mean, quarterbacks, Tony Romo, I think, is right around that same age range.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if those quarterbacks start challenging your Phillip Rivers for kind of like your Eli Mannings for kind of like a top five quarterback ranking.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Let's move on then to B to the Mac, B to the MAC.
Is it
B to the Mac or
B to the MAC?
John. Although his logo for his team is the Mac Attack, so that's fairly confusing.
Hey, also, Brian, just a personal note to you. If you're going to insist on the league both spelling and pronouncing your name, your team's name correctly, I would really appreciate it if you would refer to my team in all caps in the power rankings. It's Kavanaugh, all caps.
It's like, that's the tech speak for shouting,
like,
right?
Maddie.
If you want to shout
Maddie
Kavanaugh.
Comes in all caps as well now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I have caps lock on, and I want that reflected in the power rankings. So
caps lock.
I'm putting you on notice, Brian.
So we had B to the MAC against Delicious, Jerry Vicious. Steph scored the least amount of points out of any team this week, and her team took a huge hit this week with Fred Jackson going down for injury.
I was jealous of her team. Going into the week, I was
she
like,
had
oh.
a pretty decent team.
Looking at the power rankings before the week started, I thought Steph was in a good position to compete.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Fred Jackson didn't do serious damage to his knee. He's going to be back.
He'll be out for 3 to 4 weeks, the report is, yeah.
Sure, but
they haven't even set a timetable.
But I think that what they've done is they've looked at that injury in the typical recovery time.
Yeah.
It's not an ACL tear.
Yeah.
So I think that she's going to get him back just in time, maybe for him to meaningfully contribute before the playoffs.
The stretch,
so
yeah,
I think that
towards the middle of the season.
She
there.
Left Robert Griffin on the bench. I mean, there's 27 points that she could have easily made up. So, honestly, I mean, I don't think that her team's in shambles.
Yeah.
I think that it's definitely hurting right now. She did pick up Jonathan Dwyer, which I think is going to be smart. Isaac Redman looked completely inept.
I wonder how she needed to pick up Dwyer.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Probably her hubby giving her a free.
I do
beer.
Know that Steph, without divulging
did
too many details.
Did you trade Jonathan Dwyer, the tip for Jonathan Dwyer for sex, John?
No. God, I wish I would have. I didn't.
You need to bargain harder, dude.
I know that there's been a lot of trade rumors swirling around about Robert Griffin. A lot of people have been trying to get him. Dave
He's
and Paul
moving.
Both been involved.
He's now the most exciting quarterback.
He's Cam Newton from last year, although he peaked
better.
in the first week, not in the third or fourth week.
Maybe,
because we didn't get to see him run.
Yeah, I mean, he's untested. It's 1 week of results.
He's
but
a rookie QB.
It's exciting.
Cam Newton had an unprecedented fast fantasy season last year,
but
no,
also fizzled.
No rookie QB has done that.
It
in
also
recent
fizzled.
Memory. Yeah,
towards the end of last season. Yeah. She's dropped Fred Davis for Kyle Rudolph. Also, she left DeSean Jackson on the bench. Jackson, I think, will be a little bit more involved this week now that Macklin is a little bit banged up. I don't know if he's going to be playing this week.
I really don't like DeSean Jackson this year. He's a home run hitter, kind of similar to like a Mike Wallace, but that's not really Philly's game anymore. I mean, they're unfortunately with Vic, it doesn't seem like they're heaving the ball downfield a lot.
Not yet, anyway.
They do like they could against a Browns team that they never felt like they were going to lose that game, no matter how close it got. So, I mean, at one point I saw him throw downfield to DeSean, and it was like he just chuckled afterwards, like, that's what we'll do on third down in the first half, just for kicks.
Yeah. She's also got Matt Forte going. Forte had a really good, a decent week for himself at 21.6 points. That's got a couple of touchdowns.
I think that's high going forward for Forte.
I don't think so. Like, he got a couple of touchdowns vultured by Michael Bush, but the thing about Forte is he's never been about rushing touchdowns. He's always been about receiving. He had Marion Barber last year who vultured some touchdowns, so
and
I think
it was
pretty average week for Forte.
And the fact that Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall are hitting it off is only going to do good things for the running game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to open it
up. But he's splitting time, right?
Well,
kind of.
I think it's...
It's like a 70-30 split, I think.
I think so.
With Bush. Anybody else? Yeah, I don't know about her team. We'll see how it goes. I mean, how it's going forward. She has a couple of holes. She's got Nate Washington. He's got Kenny Britt coming back soon. I don't know how well he'll do.
Let's talk about that, though.
She's got Jordy
what
Nelson,
could you expect
Greg
from Britt?
I don't know, man.
Who knows?
Was it suspension or injury?
Well, both. He had a one-game suspension, but he was injured as well. But he's coming back.
He blew
back
out
this
both
week,
of his knees. Independently of each other, I believe. So, I mean, the kid's already had, I think, two or three knee surgeries on both knees. And he's a guy that relies on his speed. Yeah. So.
He was good last year until he got injured. We'll see if he can continue to do that. Moving on to Brian's team. Brian's pretty high on his team. Came out with 116.9 points. Good for fifth or sixth in the league, I think, in total points. But he seems to think that his team is the deepest in the league. Do you guys agree with that?
It's the deepest in terms of guys that can score 15 plus. But I mean, like, I left 20 points on the table last week. I can point it out in terms of like Richardson and Brady and other guys like that. Like, I don't think 116 is anything to crow about.
I would agree with that. I mean, Brian's team is very deep. He's really built his team kind of historically how I've liked to build my teams, and that is really try and get value PPR picks early. Your Percy Harvins, your Darren Sproles, guys that whose value is maximized in our league that won't be worth crap in any standard league scoring. Yeah. You know, return yards, receptions, that kind of a thing.
Kevin Smith, do you think Kevin Smith
is
going to do well?
Kevin Smith
once
is never
going to. Mikel Ashore comes back.
Yeah, he's never going to score 26 points again.
This also sets McGinnis up for a whole season of, guys, if I would have started then I would have totally won.
Oh, the ideal should have, could have, would have.
But these three deep guys scored
anywhere on my
bench. Well,
again, I think that gets back to my point about.
It's not a bad problem.
You can be deep, but one of the things that I like to try and avoid is having players that do go off, but their floor is lower. Kevin Smith is a prime example of that. He could score 6 points in a week, or he could score
like
26 points in a week.
26.
And you never know. I would rather have a guy that's going to score
Reggie
between
Bush.
12 and 25 than, you know, 5 and 25. So I think that on his bench, he's got Kevin Smith. Jeremy Macklin's injured. He's fighting an injury. He may not play this week. He's got Donald Brown, Torrey Smith. Michael Bush may not vulture that many touchdowns. I don't know. I mean, Michael Bush had 16.2 points last week.
He had two touchdowns last week, which accounted for 12 of his 16 points. So unless he's scoring a couple of touchdowns a week, I don't think he's going to be very – he might be a bi-week plug-in, but I don't know that he'll be startable.
Sure.
Every week.
I mean, I think one encouraging note on Brian's team is that Reggie Bush had an absolutely horrible game in terms of NFL standard scoring. Still put up a very serviceable byline of 17.5 points. So, I mean...
He's also moved Dustin Keller out for Martellus Bennett. Is that his name? From the Giants. So we'll see
Came
if that works
Dallas
out for him.
Came over from Dallas in the offseason.
We'll see if that works out for him. He thinks that's his only weak spot in his team, which...
It's a pretty big weak spot, though. I mean, Martellus Bennett had a really good week one because Dallas was flinging the ball around a lot. Will that continue? New York was doing a lot of dink and dunk. That game was the opening Wednesday night game last week. That was a bad game to watch.
It wasn't until about the second half, So we'll see if Steph can bounce back. We'll see if Brian can consistently maintain his dominance. I mean, scored about fourth or fifth amount of points this past week, but We'll see how that works out. Let's move on to Andy and Nick, the Koi Pond Pirates.
I mean, what is there to talk about this matchup?
Oh, okay, Andy.
I curb stomp Nick.
Yeah, I mean,
Nick, I'm surprised that Nick put up over 100 points, to be honest with you.
Sure.
Especially with Cam Newton only putting up 13.
Well, here's the surprising thing to me about Nick. Let me bring up his roster here.
CJ Spiller had a good week,
which will be better now
that Fred Jackson's
Holy
out.
Holy crap. Yeah. I mean, he's always been a talent. He's kind of like one of those guys like Dexter McCluster, who I believe Ryan picked up.
Which is like,
These spark plugs that when they touch the ball, good things happen.
But not until this season.
But now that Fred Jackson's out of the way,
I'm impressed by that pickup by Ryan. I was pissed off. I was like, at first I want to laugh.
McCluster?
I was going to make fun of him on the boards.
No, Spiller's
talking
about.
And then I looked at it and I started thinking about it. And I'm like, if he's like...
Dexter McCluster?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to try and pick him up. But Ryan Vulture right after the waivers
man,
went up.
Essentially.
But I also have Jamal Charles, so I didn't want to...
But he's one of those guys that one week could touch the ball a lot, and the next week they might just go away from him. I mean, that's Kansas City's M.O.
That's the nature of... Yeah.
Do you guys think this is... Nick will consistently score this amount of points, or do you think it's... I mean, he had a huge week from C.J. Spiller, who I think will continue to do well. Lance Moore at 23 points. I don't know that he can repeat
about?
That.
He's ready to sell a team as soon as he can.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is if he's ready to cash it in on this week, that C.J. Spiller might be a guy that you sell really high.
Spiller's coming in for...
Fred Jackson. Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing
for
with Nick. Is if Nick is cashing in this season, he needs to move Cam Newton and C.J. Spiller ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
Get her third, fourth round pick out of that.
I looked at trade options for that, and I was like, what would I offer him besides, like, a ninth or tenth pick? Maybe even later, like, for someone like Spiller.
Really? You're going to get two or three weeks. Okay, 2, 3, 4 weeks.
And then I'll be sacked with a season of, should I start him, or is Fred, is he going to be used?
But the guy's going to put up 20 points a game, dude.
Yeah. He's also got Joe Flacco sitting on his bench, somebody that he could possibly move, that he probably won't use with Cam Newton, but he can move to somebody like Paul.
He totally should move Flacco. Absolutely. I think Cam Newton has bigger upside than Flacco does. I didn't like Flacco preseason as much as I liked Matt Ryan, obviously, but he's a guy I think you sell high on. And I'm again, if Nick is in sell-off mode, it seems to me like Nick really has an opportunity after week one to either completely sell off his team or kind of do what Dave did last year where you start selling off your team and then you realize, hey, wait a second, I actually have a chance to like make the playoffs and get lucky.
Yeah.
And then they start making the reverse.
So we're saying that Nick is actually probably one of the most dynamic teams in the league still.
I would say so. If he still had Darren Sproles, I think that he would have a very strong chance of making the playoffs. He would probably be like a 5 or 6 seed in my mind.
Yeah, kind of borderline getting in. Yeah.
This is speculative, but season starting, after week one, who would be our 6 teams?
Me, John.
I'm prohibitive.
Me, John, B-Mac.
Eric. Back? Just based on week one performance.
Yeah, but I don't like that long term. I don't know.
I mean, Dave scored 120 points.
I think Dave's got to be in the conversation.
I think it would be a toss-up between, like, Paul, Nick, Maddie.
No, I don't think Paul.
No, Paul
is
not.
I disagree on Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, just he's going
got,
off of...
He's got Welker and Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was another interesting point that we should bring up in a podcast. Like, teams with, like, multiple players on the same team.
Receiving players,
what is
at
that?
Least, yeah.
I mean, it got Aaron... Aaron made the playoffs, right, last year?
Last year.
It's not.
Jimmy Graham.
It works well if you've got two players that
do well.
Play well the whole season.
Right.
Or if it's a hookup like a Jimmy Graham, Drew Brees, or a Gronkowski, Brady, or something like that, where you know they're absolutely going to go to each other. But the thing I don't like about it is it's feast or famine. Unless you have a really consistent pairing like that.
It's good if one player doesn't hinder the other player from scoring
points.
Well,
on the other end, I don't even know if Gronkowski's production is affecting Welker's.
Well, with Welker, I think that the stories I've been hearing via ESPN, etc., is that
this
is a contract year for Welker. He's playing under a franchise tag, and what a lot of people are hypothesizing is that Belichick is trying to reduce Welker's role in the offense to lower his value.
Yeah. That's the same thing.
Is there any precedent for that kind of thing?
I mean,
to have that ability to win.
That's the kind of Machiavellian thing that Belichick does all the freaking time.
Maybe, but I mean, like, how
look
many?
Look what we did to Randy Moss. Randy Moss came off of like a 16 touchdown receiving season, and the next year they completely
for three,
phased
three
him
different
out.
Teams. Yeah, that's the year I had
him. Phased
him
out
yeah.
of the offense because right. they, because he wasn't a team player. Okay. So
I'm just amazed that, like, he has that many weapons or that many tools, and then he can, like.
The other thing is that Julian Edelman is basically 75% of what Wes Welker does in that offense. He's not identical to Wes Welker in terms of production, but he's a serviceable enough replacement that you don't have to have Wes Welker.
Yeah, you can afford to have him.
You don't have to pay Wes Welker
$14
million if you can pay Julian Edelman $3 and have him do 75% of what Wes Welker does.
But also they brought in Brandon Lloyd as well to kind of pick up some of the slack as a downfield threat. So. Yeah. They've got the two tight ends to do the dink and dunk down across the middle.
Aaron Hernandez had a really great first week, and I was
both
kind
he
of
and Gronk.
By
I think he had 1 yard less than Gronk, and that was the only difference is yeah. one a tenth of a point. So, good week by Andy's team. Adrian Peterson, literally, I think everyone in the fantasy football world thought Adrian Peterson was going to take two, three, four weeks in order to get phased in, and it's something that's really unheard of for a guy.
He's a freak.
Who didn't have very many touches. I heard that they kept checking on him play after play. He kept saying, you know, get me in. I'm good to go.
His knee basically exploded out of his body 8 months ago. And now
his kneecap was in his thigh or yeah. something, like, you know, like kind of crazy like that.
And now he's essentially back at 100%. One of the reports I read said that he still has, like, tingling in the nerves around his knee, but that's symptomatic of the type of injury he had, and that he'll have that for a year and a half. But he practiced on Wednesday. He looks like he's good to go this week. I mean, I think he's probably 95 to 100%. Probably not 100%, but I would say 95% back.
Mm-hmm.
And I expected...
Who are they playing? Who's Minnesota playing?
They're playing someone really... Buffalo, maybe?
Minnesota is playing... picked Indianapolis this week.
Okay, yeah. So they're playing a really defense. Horrible defense, which is why I'm playing him.
Yeah.
I expected not to play him for 2 or 3 weeks. And leave him on the bench, and hopefully he would contribute down the field. I think I got him in the third round.
I was
going to
say, if you get him anywhere past the second round, that's
a
huge pickup.
He was a top five pick. So yeah. I figure if he performs at a top five level for two-thirds of the season, then I'm getting value.
Even if he performs in the top, like, as a first-round pick, that's still a huge pickup.
Well, and also, in talking about this, like, with the RG3 thing, you always just want, like, a maverick dude in your lineup. For a little bit of excitement.
Sure. A guy with unknowns.
Yeah, a little bit you can brag about.
A lot
like,
of upside.
It was so stressful.
I believed in him, and I put him in.
I think one of the things that I was concerned about coming out of the draft that I'm really glad hasn't so far panned out, I was concerned that when I looked back over my roster, I have a lot of very traditionally popular players. Arian Foster, Adrian Peterson,
Frank Gore, yeah.
Tony Gonzalez.
Andre Johnson scored well, right?
He scored
well. He was a top 10 player this past
week. I hate him, and yet now I'm afraid he's going to do
well.
Well,
the thing with Andre Johnson is I don't know that he's ever played a full season.
No.
And he's never had more than 10 touchdowns.
He only played 3 games last year.
Regardless, though, but I thought I don't know if the injuries affected him last year or not when he was playing, but I thought his targets and everything was down.
Well, and the other thing about the Houston Texans is they're definitely a run-first offense.
Sure.
He's the number one receiver in that team, but they're definitely a run-first offense.
My speculative team is still banking on Foster going down. So.
All right, let's move on.
You're just better from last year.
What's that?
You had Arian Foster last year, right?
Yeah.
That didn't work out so well for you.
No, it worked out.
Towards the end of the season.
He went big after week 3.
Yeah.
Let's move on here, kind of speed things up a bit. Cornbread, Steel City, pretty yawn, I think, this past week for
nobody
that matchup.
Nobody likes those fantasy people. I mean,
you
McGinnis,
don't like those fantasy
McGinnis
people.
McGinnis and Ryan, two managers like that matchup.
Maddie
pretend to care.
Maddie started Jay Cutler but had Peyton Manning on his bench. Does Maddie try and unload Cutler for somebody else? Again, I think there's a lot of quarterbacks who put up like 18 to 20 points on people's benches. Flacco, Robert
Griffin.
If
Maddie makes any moves this season,
Jay
I'll
Cutler.
Be surprised. Why are we talking about this?
That's true, I guess. He's
he
not
has no precedent
for
making any moves.
Sean Green had 15.4 points, which is super surprising. I think probably his ceiling for the week or for the year.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously the number one back.
He's been notoriously underwhelming.
Yeah, he's horrible, but I mean, he's gonna get a lot of touches.
Notoriously underwhelming.
Not once. Well, he plays for New York.
I mean,
right?
Yeah.
Not once Tebow saves the season.
Yeah. Not many other star players on his bench. He had
it's
Sidney
just
Rice.
Tebow instead of Sean Green, man, as an H back, man.
That had to be one of the most shocking outcomes in the NFL. They scored 40.
Yeah, that's psychotic.
Spanking Buffalo.
Well, and what's his name? Jeremy, what's his name?
Yeah, I don't even know his last name. He's still on the free agency pool.
Well, I think he picked up a little bit of an injury, but he had one kick return touchdown and one receiving touchdown and had like five targets.
Well, both of the New York Jets receivers were like top 20 point scorers this past week, I think. Him and Stephen Hill, who Paul picked up off the waiver wire. So, Cornbread rolled with Alex Smith this past week. Yeah, I don't know.
If Alex Smith were to perform poorly for 2 weeks, would Tyler move him?
Who would he move him for?
I mean,
nobody wants Alex Smith to start with.
No, drop him or do something.
Well, yeah, probably.
I think you could do worse than Alex Smith. I mean, for example, Ryan Gilmer, I think, is starting Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger's never going to score. He's never going to have the upside that Alex Smith has. Because... And
how much more time does he have before he has like a season-ending injury?
Roethlisberger?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That guy gets beaten up.
Yes, he does.
He's got Stephen Ridley
on his face, though. So I think that
Tyler had Stephen Ridley on his bench, who he traded to Ryan for. We'll talk about that later.
Roethlisberger could be like end up being like in 10 years like one of the saddest NFL cases. Like
he seems.
He's got baggage. He's got concussions, and God knows what will happen. Like
he's
after
he leaves
the NFL.
He's a very average quarterback.
But he's high profile enough that we'll follow him.
He's
so
like
we'll
a number 7 or 8 quarterback. You know what I mean? He's fairly consistent, but he's very average. And he doesn't do anything flashy. So.
Well, we'll move on here to Goat Punishment and Stringing Guitars. How do you think your team did, Joel?
Squeaked out a win.
Squeaked
That's
out a win.
Did.
That's exactly what happened.
But according to Joel doesn't care about the week one result.
I don't care about the week one. It's just
he cares more about podcasting.
I care about the future of podcasting this league.
This is a discussion we had a couple nights ago.
Ryan has been bugging me for a past week to get a running back. He moved for Stephen Ridley. Gave up Miles Austin for Malcolm Floyd. Who do you think got the better end of that deal with Tyler? Tyler gave up Stephen Ridley and Malcolm Floyd. Ryan gave up Rashad Jennings and
Ryan
Miles Austin.
Ryan definitely got the better end of that deal.
You think so?
Malcolm Floyd, I think this season, he's the number one option in San Diego, just like Miles Austin is the number one option in Dallas. Except there isn't as much competition in San Diego for touches. You don't have a Kevin Ogletree. You don't have a Dez Bryant. In San Diego, and it really looked like in week one that the Patriots were moving back toward more of a ground game with Stephen Ridley. So,
no, that's not true.
And Rashad Jennings,
my argument is going to be is Brady left points on the field.
Let's be honest, Rashad Jennings isn't going to score any points unless MJD goes down. And even then, maybe not very
but
many.
But the Patriots' red zone offense is going to be better than it was in week one. They were in the red zone consistently, and then I'd check Stat Tracker and stuff like that, and all of a sudden, there'd be nothing.
Well, you expect Wes Welker to get more of those red zone attempts.
Going back to my team, I mean, Victor Cruz is not an 11-point weekly output.
Oh, yeah.
You don't think so?
Richardson's going to improve. I don't know if he's going to be the back that I want him to be. But
I mean, this is one of the things that we were talking about when we had the draft here at my house, is I really didn't like Victor Cruz because he's a very... Again, very feast or famine kind of player, like a Mike
he's
Wallace.
He's a sophomore year, man.
Sure, but he, I believe him and Mike
year,
Wallace last
one.
Year were the top two players in terms of long yardage touchdown receptions.
Yeah, we agree on that. We
and
agree
he's
on that.
Come back
we
to
agree
on
that, but
that.
I still think his identity in that team could develop.
Do you think that he's going to be, ultimately in the season, do you think he's going to score more points than Hakeem Nicks?
That's why I took him, yeah, absolutely. Mm. But I mean, I don't have good reason to say yes or no either way, but...
That's what your fantasy intuition
is
telling you?
That's my optimism.
You feel it? deep into your...
That's why I took him, because I felt like, okay, this guy's coming off his first year. He's going to, like, okay, I don't know if the sky's the limit, but...
Joel, how do you feel about Pierre Garçon going down with an injury?
I looked at his injury status today. I didn't... It sounded like he's going to be, like, a game-time decision.
Yeah.
It sucks because he took, like, 4 catches for 100 yards and a TD in, like, the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then was out.
Yeah.
It's something I'm going to continue to monitor.
We'll continue to monitor his progress. Well, I mean, the reason why I ask is it doesn't look like you have a lot of options on the bench. Should he not play?
Yeah, I'm going to be a waiver wire team. But, I mean, off the bat, like, I was excited about this season just embracing more like a hedonistic goodbye to 2013 approach.
I mean, what do you mean by that? It's, like, it seems a little like, nebulous.
I think in 4 to 5 weeks, there's going to be a team selling, and I'll be there to buy.
Really?
Yeah.
So that was going to be my question. Let's say week 5 comes along. You're sitting in the 5th spot in the league.
I wish.
Which I think is
That's possible with a couple, like another lucky
win. 5, 6, 7, 8, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, 8, yeah.
Would you either double down on your team? Or would you pull the plug? Like, let's say you're sitting in the 8th spot. Are you going to double down, or are you going to pull the plug?
Who's available? Like, what kind of player is available?
I would assume almost any player on the lower end teams are going to be available.
It's just strange to me that, like, any team would be like, my one weakness is tight end. Like, pretty much everyone's weakness is tight end. It's strange because the league's coming into a tight end era. Yeah, guys will do well.
Three or four teams that have pretty solid tight ends.
You're right. You're right, Joel, in the sense that there are about 2 or 3 elite tight ends that are going to score 10 points plus a week.
Okay.
I think that's what... I mean, I was very happy with Tony Gonzalez's week one output, and I think over the season he's going to be very serviceable, but I don't
that's what I'm going to do.
He doesn't have the upside
right,
that someone like Jimmy Graham or Gronkowski has.
I'm going to pursue a serviceable tight end, and then I'm going to try to make improvements at running back and wide receiver. But
you really should have picked up Dennis Pitta. Seriously.
I wasn't on the way. I wasn't looking at it.
He's still on the board. You can pick him up as
a free agent. No, 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 no.
Somebody else
picked
him up
as a free agent, yeah.
Who picked them up?
I think VMAC maybe.
Hmm.
Let me check it out here.
No, VMAC picked up Bennett from the Giants.
I think also it comes down to like, this isn't a thought that I haven't developed enough yet. But if you don't think your team can score 115 plus a week, then you probably should either think of like, A, how can I improve it, or how can I sell it?
Sure.
Because you are done. In the last 4 to 5 weeks of the season, you don't know how it's going to go, and the
but let's
go
let's not
worse.
Forget that I think the selling off of teams this season is not going to happen in the same degree that it happened last year.
It just depends on the personalities.
Because you can't keep anyone if you don't have
if it's Steph, Aaron,
picks,
J-Beck, and people like that. I don't think they are. Yeah, if they're in a position to sell off. They wouldn't. But if it's Nick, God forbid Ryan, or like
God forbid
someone
God forbid.
Like me, I would sell.
But my point is that you may not find that many buyers. From my own point of view,
they're foolish.
There are probably 2 or 3 or 4 players on my team
that might be keepers next season. They're playing for 5th place.
Sure, but that gets you in the playoffs. That's all you have. If you get in the playoffs, anyone can string together 3 victories.
Not anymore. I think you got to be in the playoffs and you got to be set up.
I disagree with that.
You need a super team. You do.
I mean, super obviously, team. You have a vested interest in kind of like maintaining.
I don't have to maintain the super team status.
You're talking it up.
It's something. But even before this week started, or even like, regardless of my team, I'm like, okay, look at the two like the biggest trade makers of last year, and like what they did. They ended up in the finals.
Sure, but they're also hurting this year as a result. I mean, Ryan's team clearly is not as strong as it could be because he was hampered by not having picks.
Ryan's been doing okay, but he sold off a pick from next year.
Yeah,
so
already.
He's continually...
So he already has no keeper.
He has one keeper.
He still has
his first round pick.
Well, Stafford is a prohibitive.
Oh, yeah, total lock.
Top three.
Total lock.
All right, so that concludes week one matchups. Let's keep this rolling. You guys want to discuss power rankings now, or what?
We get into power rankings, but let's talk about like teams that will go 2-0 next week.
Well, I mean, that, like, I think teams that's a look like, forward.
Shit,
that's a, I think it's a look forward. We'll get to the week 2 matchups.
Oh, I thought that's where you're going next.
No, dude.
Sorry.
Let's talk about power rankings. Let's talk about waiver pickups.
We can talk about strong teams.
John, why don't you talk about Ogletree and the
agonizing
research.
Well, here's my thing. I'll give a quick and
there
dirty
were
about
message
this.
Boards. Did you
message boards,
account?
Articles?
Did you solicit advice from Nick on picking up Ogletree?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Now, my thing with picking up Kevin Ogletree is he was the number 2 point scorer last week. Whether that's going to be consistent or even partially consistent remains
to
be seen.
But it's fantasy excitement.
Yeah.
For sure, next week. Okay. Everyone's going to be looking at that.
Well,
you know?
he's going to be riding my bench for the next couple of weeks just to see if he's...
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
That's
not
pussy
why.
Behavior.
Yeah. No way, dude.
Why,
dude? I've got
the
Jamal Charles
hot.
On my bench.
No, who?
The iron
who
is
Who are you
hot.
Starting in place of Ogletree?
Reggie Wayne.
Okay, well, that's fair. But who else?
Doug Martin.
Stupid.
Okay, thank you for your fantasy advice. Well, here's my thing about... I had the number one waiver wire priority this past week. The thing about Ogletree is he could turn into be like a Laurent Robinson from last year. The other...
Whatever.
The downfall to it is that he's been on the Cowboys team for 2 or 3 years and hasn't done anything. And this is like his breakout game. I don't want to give up the number one priority for somebody who's going to have one hot game and then, you know, like a Devery Henderson or somebody, Patrick Creighton. Somebody like that who does really well for a couple of weeks and then disappears back into the depth chart. So I feel like his upside is a lot higher than his risk.
Your team management's like the Obama campaign. Just got to play it safe and hope you ride it out to the victory.
That's true.
Yeah,
maintain the status quo.
Yeah,
the status quo is working.
Barely, but just maybe barely.
Yeah, John, I mean, if I were in your position, I totally would play Ogletree this week over Doug Martin.
Mm.
Simply because the iron is hot with Ogletree.
It's exciting.
That's all that people are going to be talking about going into the next game.
I'm
how do we get
Ogletree
the ball?
Yeah, but talk doesn't get me points. Talk is cheap, bro.
Okay.
I don't care if people talk about him. If he only scores 6 points next week,
I'm
seeing.
I'm seeing the pressure.
I'm going against Eric.
The pressure is going to be on Dallas to get him the ball.
That's interesting, though. So, in terms of playing like a premier like fantasy team, you don't want to like point too many.
I don't want to fucking gamble on my team.
You don't know if the guns will fire.
Yeah.
Are you shooting blanks?
No.
Are you afraid of shooting blanks?
Clearly, no.
Yes.
So I wanted to pick him up.
You're saying no, but you're saying yes.
So
your
picked
eyes
him
are
up.
Saying yes.
I decided to take the gamble. Paul picked up Stephen Ridley or Stephen Hill.
But Eric's balls are bigger.
Okay, Joel.
And furrier.
Okay.
Furrier.
He probably does have more hair on his balls because his wife doesn't make him trim his ball hair.
It's like a
GQ magazine said that's requisite now.
What? Trimming the ball hair?
Is it?
Is it?
They said it's polite for...
what are we talking about here?
It is polite. That's polite.
For the urban man that's out and about, it's polite not to shark somebody in your bush.
What the hell are you talking about?
Okay.
Good God.
Back,
are we talking about power rankings or waiver wire pickups?
I'm sorry.
What are we
doing? I'm sorry. Let's get back to the serious fantasy discussion.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Stephen Hill.
Paul picked up Stephen Hill off the waiver wires.
Okay, I guess that's all we have to say about that.
Is that Jets receiver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And quite honestly,
know nothing about him.
I like his position a little bit more than Ogletree's. Ogletree is a clear number 3 in Dallas. Hill is a clear number 2 in New York.
Well, a clear number 3 when the other two top receivers are still making their way back in.
Sure.
Witten's still out. And
in your mind,
Robinson was a number 3 receiver last year, and he was a top 10 wide receiver.
In your mind, was Ogletree clearly the number 1 waiver wire pickup, or was Stephen Hill challenging him for that spot?
I debated between him and Stephen Hill. I also debated, who else did I debate?
Storyline. Season storyline.
I debated somebody else.
See if Paul got over on you.
It was compelling.
We'll see if Paul got over on you.
I wanted Randall Cobb, but he was already drafted, obviously, by Paul.
That was a big... That was a week 1 shocker, I think, how involved Randall Cobb was in the Green Bay offense.
Well, he had a returning touchdown. That's not going to happen every week, obviously.
No, but
he
still... They lined him up in the backfield. They lined him out at receiver. Yeah. I think they're pretty committed to getting him touches in that offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that can only... And I believe that was Paul's draft, right?
Yeah, Randall Cobb. He got him.
So...
I think beyond Randall Cobb, the next best player available was Kevin Ogletree, who I picked up. Followed by Stephen Hill, followed by Alshon Jeffrey for the Bears, followed by Dexter McCluster. So, I'm really surprised, honestly. We can talk about waiver wire pickups. How do you think that's going to shape the league in the coming, next few weeks?
Okay, so was there only three high profile or only three actual technical waiver wire
pickups? I think there's only two, right?
Who's the third? Roy Helu got picked up by Aaron.
Roy Helu? You mean Helu?
No, I mean
like Hulu? Wes Hulu. Welker.
Hulu?
Helu.
Hey, I hope you appreciate the fact that I've been saying Wes Welker this whole podcast.
Yeah, because I've corrected you. Like,
does the league know that you called him Wes?
Wes Welker.
I've called him Wes my entire life. I don't
know
what that's about.
Does the league know that?
I don't know. Probably not.
And do they know that? Do they know that in respect to the fact that you got on me about Daenerys and Darius?
Daenerys Moore.
Sound like Daenerys Hayward Bay. Is that like a form of currency somewhere?
Yeah, it's a denarii.
I like that. See, that's like money.
I believe it's been phased out, though.
Okay.
I believe it's ancient Babylonian.
Ancient Rome, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Mesopotamia.
The Fertile Crescent.
Anytime you can say Mesopotamia in a podcast.
Or Fertile Crescent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are only two because legitimate.
However,
because people were afraid.
Well,
no. However, you had two managers waiting until waiver wires cleared.
Sure,
Brian and Ryan,
that's the prudent thing to do.
But
why waste a waiver wire pickup on someone
somebody
you can snipe?
I can't believe Ryan would be.
But you're playing a game there. You don't know.
That was
it's the
Dave Ramsey school of fantasy football management.
That's interesting how like the comparisons you could make about not like
it's accrued, the debt snowball of waiver wire.
Do not accrue 2013 debt.
You don't know if somebody's going to put in a waiver claim. That's you're always running the risk. Does somebody want Dexter McCluster enough to put in a waiver claim?
I mean,
Ryan played the gamble and he won.
Even though I respect that McCluster pick, I'm done picking up any player from Kansas City.
This guy's electric. Every time he touches the ball, it's electric.
Until their franchise goes back in the toilet again for the rest of the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yet, I don't mean to denigrate Ryan because I think it's an exciting pick.
Obviously had bench room, and it's a speculative pickup and didn't cost him anything. Yeah. So, I think what you're going to see long-term this season in the league with the waiver system is it's going to introduce a lot more parity into the league. Because of the way the waiver system works, it rewards people that are struggling. Because at least initially, it's based on a reverse draft order. And then...
Is it going to be like a bell curve or a reverse bell curve in terms of, like, we haven't seen many pickups yet?
It's going to be a reverse bell, I believe.
Okay,
because what you're going to see a lot of players get wavered early that have high upside. And then as the season progresses, people like me and, your first through fifth draft picks are going to get the waiver priority, but there's going to be less surprise players out there. Certainly,
but we're still in that zone of surprise players. Like,
exactly,
God knows what week two and three will still bring in terms of like a season of point scoring for somebody. I don't know who last year was like a waiver wire wonder.
Well, there was no waiver wire wonder because everybody was free agents last year.
Okay,
and that's my point is it's going to adjust the way that those get allocated.
Okay, but like, what's an example of like a player last year that had their waiver wire been? Installed.
Victor Cruz.
Laurent Robinson.
Eric Decker.
Okay. And those would have been battled out for...
But the thing about...
Demaryius Thomas.
The thing about those kind of players is people pick them up and they stash them for a couple weeks They stash them for a couple weeks until they went off. Like, I picked up Victor Cruz on a flyer hoping that he would continue and stash him for a couple weeks and then he turned out to be a top 15 or top 20 receiver. And then continued to play him and then traded him off to Dave, so...
The good news about Victor Cruz is that Eli's about... I mean, no matter how bad he is, he'll just continue throwing to him.
We've got a... We've got an emergency. We've got an emergency. Hold on. Fire engine. So there might be more.
There's a cat up the tree.
Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about week two matchups. Well, I think we're already at the hour attention span limit of some people in the league.
We're going longer.
We are. Well, we talked about ball here for probably about four or five minutes.
I just know that like a 2-0 start is intimidating, and it will in some sense elicit moves from teams. You know, when you're 0-2, I
have to be a favorite to go 2-0. I'm playing Paul this week. He only scored 94 points week one, so I think that I have a firm advantage in that regard. Either John or Eric is going to go 2-0, so they're probably going to move up into the number two spot in the league.
Do we have a pick on that? It's like a point difference or even less on the projected.
I mean, I would 125. I would expect John to pull that out, but I think he's a very slight favorite in that matchup.
Right.
Trying to think of any other noticeable matchups from week two.
Sorry.
Even though I'm down on my team, I'm interested to see how I'll do against Dave. Like, I don't have great reason to be excited, but I think there's a possibility I could score more points.
And you only scored 83 week one. You did get the victory. Dave put up 130 week one, so I can't call you the favorite in that matchup, Joel.
No, it's not. But if Dave scores less and I score more, which yes. both are likely. Dave will score less points than he did last week. It's more likely, I think, that I will score more points than I did last week.
I think that's probably true.
Then I think it's going to be close. And I mean, I don't know if you've noticed on the boards, trash talks, I mean... It's,
Dave firing back at you.
He is firing back.
He hit me with a Lorenz...
He hit you with the low blow, occupational put down.
Yeah,
that was fairly low.
Yeah,
the Barnhart blast.
I was hurt. I felt that one. I'll be honest. I sympathize with that one.
I didn't think it was very cool. I'm hoping the league backs me up.
Well, I wouldn't bet on that.
So what we talked about here.
We're talking about week two matchups. John just came
I had
back
to go
from
to the
a,
I had to go to
a
bathroom.
Piss in the grass.
You've got
break.
You've got the matchup of the Ashland counseling grads, Aaron and Maddie.
Ooh.
Aaron and Maddie, two lower tier teams so far, I think.
Although I think Maddie was an MDiv, not counseling. But you got two seminary grads going at it. That should be and both who are fairly reluctant to talk any sort of trash. Any meaningful trash. So.
Which I've tried to help them. I have. I've tried to aid them.
Here's some talking points. Here's some points of...
I do like a Molly versus
residual
Maddie.
Hurt.
Molly v. Maddie.
Yeah. You could win. And then I thought, like, oh, God, Ryan, I'm going to get a message from Ryan about that. But they're both 0-1, right?
Yes.
Did Maddie win last week?
No.
So...
We've got B to the Mac, B to the MAC against Cornbread, the brother.
Yeah, that's the bro-in-law, the fag bro battle.
Who's your
right
matchup
there?
Of the week,
fag
Joel?
1.0.
We missed your poster last week.
You know what happened to that, Joel? I want to discuss this on the podcast because I did disappoint the league in not doing a poster, and it'll be forthcoming. But I'm going to do like web shots, like at ESPN front page. But edit it out and do like a Pat 40 article on you. I meant to put like pressure machine and like have a picture of you by a computer, like not knowing what the fuck to draft. Yeah.
With all my pages.
Right. And so I might do like a Grantland front or like a CNN SI kind of thing. I'm not sure, like different websites, the Deadspin or something like that, and just chuck up if it's more salacious, like a Deadspin thing, or if it's more like.
Right.
Analysis, like edit it out. I saw a Gmail front page edited for like LeBron James.
Yes.
And so I'm
I
like,
saw that too.
Okay, if you get the fonts down,
like LeBron James
like that,
inbox.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. Cool.
And it's tedious, but I don't think like a front page would be as much work. Just a few photo crops and
sure. And
things like that. Yeah.
Well, how about you get on that, dude? Because you're the one that's saying that you don't really care about fantasy. You care about all of the accoutrement. So. We need some of that from you, Joel.
We do. But I think, yeah, that's true.
And I think another thing that we had talked about is that I think it would be a good thing for some other people to step up and approach Brian about doing the power rankings.
Who would
and
be a
taking
great,
over for a week or two.
Who would be a great underrated power rankings writer?
Nick?
Yeah.
Nick
would be good.
Nick would be great.
It'd be great if you could get Paul to do one.
It's really fun. Like, once you start doing it, you're like, oh, I can either maim this person or I can elevate
the
them.
The power is
and, like, you feel, like, some sense of, like, this has been bestowed on me because I have to work with the previous week's power rankings.
Yeah,
and, like,
you alter them
so.
A little bit.
I can alter them, but I can't, like,
disregard
them.
You can't extremely deviate.
Yeah, I can be like, actually, fuck all you because, this team's been number one the whole week. You just didn't know it.
We've got Goat Punishment and McCoy Pond Pirates. One player trying to sell
Fag
off
bros.
His team.
Fag boy.
Yeah.
Fag bros. No, one player trying to sell off his team. Nick's trying to look towards next year a little bit. One player trying to acquire pieces. Both are, I think, about the same level.
I guarantee there's been a message sent from Nick to Ryan saying, I'm glad to lay it down for you this week on your pursuit.
Dude, there's... They call that boosting, first of all.
This is very similar to the David and Jonathan relationship, I believe, from biblical proportions. No, Jonathan, I will lay down my sword for you.
Do you even know about that story?
Yeah, dude. It's not to lay down the sword, but...
It was Jonathan who saved David's life.
Yes.
Jonathan... Yeah, okay.
But my point is that they're both like, oh, let me lay my coat in the puddle.
Yeah.
Let me lay my coat.
No, no, after you. After you.
This is a cozy insider.
Oh, no,
like,
I insist.
Inside. Yeah. So, I mean, Ryan, he's 0-1, but he has a chance to get back on the horse this week against Nick. If you were to lose, though, 0-2, after making a trade to a team like Nick... That's, like, once in a season kind of disaster, actually.
Yeah. Any other matchups the first week that you got, or the second week number two that you guys think? Andy, you feel pretty confident against Paul?
I do.
Short and to the point.
Yeah.
You going to start AP this week?
Hell yeah.
In place of?
In place of Frank Gore.
It's exciting.
Really?
It's just exciting. Gore did, like, 17, 18 points.
Yeah, and he looked pretty good. So
why did Gore go so late?
I think a lot of people were really concerned. There's a ton of options in the San Francisco backfield.
Keelan Williams?
Brandon Jacobs is there. Kendall Hunter is there. Anthony Dixon is there.
Frank
Gore.
Gore has been the guy on that team.
He has been, but he looked really bad in preseason, and a lot of people were concerned that Kendall Hunter could start. Again, Kendall Hunter, one of those guys. Electric! Every time he touches the ball, good things happen. But he never just seems to cement himself as a number one.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy that Frank Gore still appears to be the number one option in that offense.
That's just great. I mean, injury or not, I mean, you're sitting him, right?
I'm sitting him this week.
That's
yes.
Amazing,
he's going. They have
an amazing luxury.
They have a tougher matchup this week.
Who's good for at least 12 plus points?
Well, I'll be sitting. Jamal Charles, I think, so far, anyways. Let's move on to power rankings. Brian put these out, yesterday? 2 days ago? I think yesterday.
Yesterday. Yesterday morning.
Andy moved up to number one.
I think most people agree with that leap. After week one, and when you have a disparity of points compared to the rest of the league, like 130 is basically tapped out, aside from Andy's 150.
Yeah, but I think the general attitude around the league is a lot of Andy's players went off. The only question is, can they repeat that? Matty Ice had 35 points, but is that going to be... is he going to score 25 to 30 points a week, or is that kind of...
If you can even kind of legitimize it, then you can have no right to not rank someone in the first place in a power rankings after week one. After week two, we can be skeptical.
This is what we had talked about, Joel, is that really the preseason power rankings have to be readjusted almost by total points scored after week one, because you need to set a baseline.
Unless a team takes on a new personality, and you're like, some injury guys came back,
right.
And now they are a point-scoring threat.
Here's my thing, is I feel like... When Brian does power rankings, and I appreciate all that he does through the power rankings,
but
However,
do you?
Duly noted. However, I feel like in some instances he goes off a week-to-week basis without regard to previous rankings, and in other instances he goes off of previous power rankings. So, for example, you were ranked, what, fourth last in the preseason power rankings?
Yeah, I believe
so. And you got moved up to number one. Somebody, because of your week one output, somebody like Steph.
He could not have been ranked fourth because McGinnis was ranked
fifth or third or something like that. Somebody like Steph, who was ranked second in the preseason power rankings, only got moved down a few spots, but she was clearly the worst team last week.
She got dropped to six.
But she was
a four.
She was moved down only a few spots because of her preseason ranking.
Yeah, I think Steph,
you got moved up because your team.
Pillow talk.
Your team.
Did you two discuss this in bed?
No, absolutely not.
Before you go to bed, you're just like, yeah, those power rankings are bullshit. That's bullshit. No,
this is something I think about in my own personal time, taking one of four dumps a day.
Good Lord.
Do you think power rankings are typically read while people are in the toilet?
But here's the thing.
I do. I mean, read them. That's what they do.
Power rankings cannot be solely based on position that your team occupies in the league. Otherwise, they wouldn't be fascinating at all.
Right.
If they reflected the complete league order, that would not be interesting.
I'm the number nine. I'm the number nine, but I feel like there wasn't... I mean, granted, I have some holes and some gaps, but it wasn't taking into account like improvements my team could make as well. I don't know. I could have been an eight or seven.
Who else is Fuzzy Ducks number three? Again, the top four places are directly related to week one output.
I'm not happy about.
Except for Beck.
I'm not pleased that you, Andy, and Eric are in the top three because I felt like if a gun was pointed in my head before the season started and I had to guess like the top three even before the draft, like it'd probably be Andy, Eric, John. I'm not happy that it's come out like. So true to form.
I don't know. I think the power rankings will shape up a little bit more in the next few days or the next few weeks.
And
I mean, I don't have any really huge other complaints. It just seems like,
where's Ryan at? I think he's the most interesting team.
Ryan
right now.
Is currently 11. At number 11.
Started at 8, went to 11.
Did that trade?
Oh, the trade moves him up. I think the trade moves him up to like a 10 or a 9.
Nick is still in the number 14. I think he could be up a few spots.
To be honest, I think Steph should be moved down probably an additional two or
especially
three spots.
Especially because of Fred Jackson. I don't think he took that into too much of account.
But again, I don't know that you can wildly swing like that. You have to downgrade Steph for her week one performance and for the injury, and I expect her to slide again. She could pull out a narrow victory, and she might move down a spot or two.
This speaks to the value of the power rankings in the sense that like our teams accurately... It's the portrayal to the league, and it really is. It's up to everyone to figure that out, especially because as the season progresses, like, are you a buyer or a seller,
mm-hmm.
and how is that? How are you portrayed?
Yeah,
you know, and so it's interesting that like,
yeah, I mean, I think Nick right now is downgraded heavily because he portrayed himself as a seller.
Mm-hmm.
Despite
the fact that he's scoring points like madman, so yeah. I agree with that. It's as much about perception as it is about your actual performance.
But and it also has a place in the market in terms of like how perceptions will lead to possible future trades and things like that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I think kind of as we like close up the podcast for the week, how do you guys, kind of an open-ended question, I guess, how do you, let's compare so far this season to last season, not so much how our team's doing compared to last season, but the overall ethos of the league. How, do you think we're better off this season despite the keepers, despite the waiver wire pickups? Some teams are hot that they weren't last year. Some teams, you know.
Well, I think it's...
What's the attitude of the league so far?
It's less acrimonious. I mean, there's not nearly... I mean, last 2 years, I felt like friendships were on the line. I was getting messages about McGinnis warning me.
Warning you about picking on Maddie?
No, but I think...
That's some good commish action, let's be honest.
Yeah, and we've talked about that this week, about just how good McGinnis is. I heard some radio commercial, that, like, they were, like, breaking down all the members of a fantasy league, and some guy's like... And it's like, Jeff, who sold his apartment, is living at his mom's house to manage the league. He's like, it's only temporary. I mean, work goes into it, but McGinnis does a really good job. But the league's like more open to like experimentation, and at the same time, you know, like this system now is working.
I think one of the things that kind of reinforces that idea is the fact that it seems like everybody's on a much more level playing field this year, and so we're not as quick to trumpet success. You know, like I don't want to come out and say like, oh, I'm the team to beat this year. Because I realize that I'm pretty far down on the waiver order, and there's a lot of season left.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the skill across the league is fairly average. In other words, there's no one that's got like a big skill gap up on the rest of the league anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think that everybody is treating it more like this season is, if I can just get to the playoffs and get lucky, there's no longer any I am the fantasy guru and you must all worship.
Yeah, that era is over.
Yeah, it is,
to a certain extent,
because we're all too invested in the skill levels have risen appropriately where that's not just going to happen anymore.
Yeah. Now I do monitor very closely, like board interact. I try to count up as best I can in terms of like posts on the Yahoo, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Facebook page. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
And also the message boards. And so, I mean, it seems like week one, like, there's a lot going on in the fall. Like, people's lives kind of get started in some different ways. People's wives, you know, teachers, stuff like that. So, but there wasn't a ton of, like, week one reaction right off the bat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, going forward, I still would hope, like, there's a little bit more interaction in terms, you know, aside from the power rankings coming out, you know, not a lot on the boards or anything, like, discussion of this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And now we don't have stat tracker chat. It's tough.
Yeah. I think we're kind of still in the first few weeks of just testing people out, see what teams are going to be the good teams, that kind of thing. People are kind of a wait-and-see type of approach right now. I think
it's going to be that five-six spot,
yeah,
in the playoffs.
I think the
teams will probably substantiate themselves. And then,
I think the big challenge for the league going forward is, you know, weeks 5, 6, 7, that kind of thing. As teams start to drop off, some teams, you know, have 1 win, 2 wins. Other teams start to do really well. What kind of resiliency our league has to kind of keep those managers who aren't doing so well still heavily involved in the league?
Yeah.
That's what I think last year, a lot of teams started to sell off players and kind of started to distance themselves from the league. And I think the real challenge is, how do we keep the excitement in the league high?
Yeah.
How do we keep people involved? Things like the podcast, the power
making sure
rankings,
like a diverse group joins like a podcast, yeah, or doing power rankings, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a good week one. We'll look forward to week two and see what teams can solidify their week one position. What teams are going to come out and say, you know, week one, that really wasn't a good indicator of how my team is.
Mm-hmm.
We should know a lot more after this next week.
Yeah. I think the next few weeks will be really, really telling and starting separating the wheat from the chaff. So,
very biblical metaphor to end on.
There's some kind of song I think we used to sing at camp about separating the wheat from the chaff.
That sounds horrible.
It's like Shine, Jesus, Shine or something like that.
That's definitely not Shine.
No, that does not have a wheat and chaff verse.
Burn away the chaff. Something like that. I'll figure that out. I'll put that on the board.
Yeah,
so
we'll get back to you.
I think we're done, right? Are we good?
Yeah.
Any other last messages?
Nope.
Anything we forgot?
The Doyle rules.
Doyle,
Nip High football rules.
Did my group me text back to Eric?
That's pretty harsh, I think.
Is it good?
I think it's pretty harsh.
Was it harsh? It was harsh, but was that effective?
I think it was effective.
Yeah, because he's like, you remind me of Odoyle. Like,
pussies.
Yeah.
Pussies that like, Odoyle.
Yeah, I embrace the Odoyle mentality.
All right, we're done.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Thanks for joining us. Hopefully you lasted this long, Eric.
Let me interrupt one second. Do other Igloo at large concerns?
With what?
Just upcoming?
I don't think so.
I like to promo things.
Well, we've got Asher's birthday party this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Pete and Shayna's reception this weekend. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make either of those. Talk already about Christmas party.
There is some
Halloween.
Talk about
Aaron's
Christmas
trying to
party.
Get the Halloween party. Aaron's going on a couple of fronts. She's got the Halloween party, and
yeah,
she's pushing for the group vacation.
11 months out or something like that. So,
well, I mean, if it's going to get done, I think that's how you have to do it, right?
Yeah.
Kind of things on the
horizon.
Put
it on the calendar a year out.
But it this is, like, very fantasy, like, discussion style. Like, I think it's going to break down how it breaks down. Like, whoever can, like, go will go. I mean, it's good to have it 11 months out, but it seems like the people that will be able to go will go. There's not going to be, like a middle period where people are like, I'm still on the fence. And
yeah.
I mean, it seems like once, like, people that can financially or time-wise afford to go will go.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Hopefully there'll be a time this fall that we can all get together, have the bonfire, do the fall.
I'm excited about being around for Christmas, actually.
Yeah,
it's the first time in 4 fucking years.
Yeah. So, anyways, a lot to look forward to. We'll see how week 2 shapes out. And we need to figure out a way, just real quickly, how to do the stat tracker. We need to set up, like, a separate chat room that people can join. That doesn't rely on one person to get in and out, people in and out of the chat room. So I guess we'll try and figure that out today or in the next few days and get something set up for Sunday.
It could be, why don't we utilize the Facebook chat? Our group on Facebook has, you can do a group chat off the Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, and it's basically just a chat room for the Igloo Fantasy Football League chat.
We'll look into that.
See, the podcast was trailing off, and then an idea like that soars.
We'll look into that. If you're not currently a fan of the Igloo Fantasy Football League on Facebook, go ahead and do that.
It's a group. You just have to join the group.
Yeah, just join the group. Search for it. So
cool.
We'll see you there on Sunday. Game tonight, Packers, Bears. I guess we'll try and get people on the chat tonight.
1-2-1-2.
Have a good week, guys.
Hey.
Welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the jungle, Wow.
Yeah.
Welcome to the jungle, welcome to the jungle, wow.
Yeah. I asked the way she wanna be when she 25. She turned around and looked at me and she said alive.
Welcome to the jungle, welcome to the jungle, wow.
Black axe who rolls, move halves and rolls. Come down to the jungle, just ask for hoe. Move blocks and squares, move apples and pears. Work pots and pans, just to copy some airs. My uncle died, my daddy did too. Paralyzed by the pain, I could barely move. My nephew gone, my heart is torn. Sometimes I look to the sky, ask why I was born. My faith in God, every day is hard. Every night is worse, that's why I pray so hard.
Why I pray so hard? This is crazy, God. Just when I thought I had everything, I lost it all. So case arrived, get a case arrived. Let it taste the pain, for it goes too far.
My dreams is big, reality setting. Let off a clip from my automatic weapon. Threw shots in the door, it died in Vegas. Though it fought so hard, I knew it wouldn't make it. I'm a tortured soul, I live in disguise. Rest in peace to the leader of the Jackson 5. I died in my sleep, I'm still big pimping. I ball at the mall, beginning of the ending. Where the fuck is the sun? It's been a while. Mama, look at your son, what happened to my smile? My tears is tatted, my rag in my pocket. I'm just looking for love, I know somebody got it. Champagne for the pain, weed for the low. God damn, I'm so high, where the fuck did I go? I'm losing myself, I'm stuck in the moment. I look in the mirror, my only opponent. Where the fuck is the press? Where the fuck is the press? Either they know or don't care, I'm fucking depressed. No crying in public, just lying to judges. Risking my life, I'm already dying, so fuck it, well.
Welcome to the jungle, welcome to the jungle, well.
God damn it, damn it, damn it.